The spring musical from the Illinois State University School of Theater and Dance is The Light in the Piazza, a show of romance, secrets, and the life-altering power of love. Opening March 1st, the Tony Award-winning musical is set in Florence in 1953. Enrico Spada is the director, and he says he was drawn to direct this musical because it offers not only romance and comedy, but there's a poignancy as well. A bittersweet undercurrent within the characters.
Margaret Johnson is a wealthy Southern woman on vacation with her daughter Clara, who is 26 years old. And Clara meets a boy, Fabrizio, who's a young Italian man in Florence, and they fall in love instantly. It's just a moment of happenstance that brings them together. Literally, the wind blows her hat from her head, and he catches it, and they meet. And so it's sort of like any other romantic comedy that you might see, where it's a sudden, I guess they call it a meet cute, and that's very much where this story begins. But there is something to Clara, a secret that Margaret has been holding on to, that puts a little bit of a damper on the proceedings. So Margaret is struggling with how to deal with that and whether to tell this boy and his family that they eventually meet about her, what she sees as her limitations.
So what is it with Clara?
Well, so she, when she was 12 years old, had an accident at a birthday party with a horse, and her doctors told her mother that she was going to not be able to develop emotionally and intellectually past the age of 12, even though she was growing physically. What's interesting to me about this, and I think that the main problem for Margaret, is her coming to terms with what can Clara do, what can she not do, and how much of her seeming limitations are because of the way Margaret raised her, or because of this accident, this injury that she sustained.
So we have some projection from Margaret that might be holding Clara back.
Yes, there may be, yeah. I think part of this point of this story, why Elizabeth Spencer wrote the novel when she did in the 60s, was to sort of demonstrate that we don't know what people are capable of, and that who are we to assume what someone can or can't do. And so me as an artist, I try to not put judgments or boundaries on Clara as a character about what she can or can't do, and leave that up to the audience to kind of decide for themselves as they watch.
This is really a story of relationships and human connection.
Yes, there's a lot of different kinds of relationships. There's romantic relationships, and there's familial relationships as well. So you have actually four main couples in the story that are wrapped up in it, and we like to think of those couples as representing the different seasons. So Fabrizio and Clara, when they first met, they're in the spring of their relationship. Fabrizio's brother, Giuseppe, he and his wife are this, you know, sort of like hot-blooded Latin romance, and they represent the summertime. Then their parents, Signor and Signora Naccarelli, are in the autumn of their romance, and you know, it's possible that that Signor Naccarelli might be stepping out on his wife,
and then the dog.
I know there's a lot of shades of gray in this play, and that the fourth couple would be
Margaret
herself, yeah, and her husband Roy, who appears back in America, and they're very much in the winter of their relationship, which leads to that beautiful song that Margaret sings, "Dividing Day," where she contemplates that moment where a love just ends, you know, that sudden moment that you don't even see and you don't even notice.
Dashing as the day we met, only there is something I don't recognize, though I cannot name it yet, I know it.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the music and what people can expect to hear. This isn't really in the tradition of the sort of the poppy kind of Broadway-style music we've been hearing in recent years.
That's right, that's right. So this was written in 2003. Adam Gettle, he had previously written the musical
Floyd Collins.
Yes, which people may have seen last year at Heartland. So the music is in a sort of, I think the word is neoclassical bent, right? That it's definitely not poppy. It pushes itself a little bit into opera, so the singing is a little bit, it's more legit. There's a lot less belting in terms of the voices, and so it's really lush. There's a song that's called Octet, which is eight people. They're all singing different different things, but it all comes together.
lot to handle there, and this is your first musical.
Yes. Well, so the music is very complex, and I have the wonderful guidance of Dr. Glenn Block in the School of Music, as well as Dr. Dennis Gotkowski, geniuses musically, who have been helping me, have been guiding me on the music side, and also the actors. Most of them are not musicians first. Most of them are from the School of Theater.
So you said this is the first musical you've ever directed. What challenges and pleasures are coming out of this?
The music is the biggest challenge for me because that's the newest thing. It's also a fun challenge to be able to create the sort of swirling world of this play, in that it goes from place to place to place to place, and there's transition music, beautiful, gorgeous music that takes us from one scene to the next. And so kind of, coordinating the movement of all of the actors, there's 18 actors in this, and making it feel that it has forward momentum and that it's really exciting. That's stuff that I've done before. It feels a little bit like a Shakespeare play in that way. So that is a challenge, but it's a fun challenge to tackle. It's really rooted in realism with a touch of psychological fantasy.
We have a musical that is set in Italy. Mm-hmm. So how does the language of Italy manifest itself? I mean, we have a heroine who speaks English and a hero who doesn't speak English. He speaks Italian. So let's talk about how the importance of communication is in this play.
I think that's a main theme of the play that the writers were really interested in. We see in the story, the Naccarelli family, including Fabrizio and his brother and his parents, they do speak Italian.
So your actors get to speak Italian.
The actors are speaking Italian, yeah, and they've been working really hard. But the point, I think, that the play is trying to make is that it's not about language, that the connection between Clara and Fabrizio sort of works on a whole other level, a higher plane almost. Their love transcends words, and really it's about them seeing each other and breathing each other in, and it moves on to physical touch as well. The song at the end of the first act is called Say It Somehow.
Why don't you trace it on my hand, or make a song, do anything.
Basically, it's like, why don't you trace it on my skin or make a song? You know, find any other way to communicate me. Even if the words are failing you, we will connect. And then there's a really interesting scenes between Margaret and her husband back in America, which is over the telephone. And there's that reaching across the ocean to connect. Themes of connection and missed connection are definitely present in the play.
That's Enrico Spada, director of The Light in the Piazza, running March 1st through the 8th at the Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts. I'm Laura Kennedy.